Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is the president of the Christian Research Institute, which is headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith, because truth matters. To find out more about the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, or the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
As always, it is a delight to answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada, Monday through Friday at this time. Your question on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. Do remember, we have a wealth of resources on the World Wide Web available to you at equip.org. You can always write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or resource consultants available via the phone at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We'll go right to the phone callers. Talk first to Larry, listening on XM Radio in Hartford, Connecticut. Hi, Larry.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? I was just curious. I heard you quoting scripture, and you said, why did Jesus say, I'm returning to your God and to my God? Why did he call the Father his God? Because I always believed that they were co-equal.
Well, they are. What you have in the Trinity is one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. So you have one God by nature or essence, but three in person. And person is an equivocation on how we use person. It is identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead.
Yes.
So in John 20:17, Jesus calls the Father my God. And as a perfect, sinless man, or as our high priest, he worshiped the Father as his God. But notice in that very verse, Jesus says, my God, your God. In other words, he makes a distinction between his relationship to the Father and our relationship to the Father. So even though he is Theanthropus, the God-man, which is to say he takes on an additional nature, he's one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine, still his humanity is distinct from our humanity in that he is the only begotten of the Father. In other words, he is the unique Son of God. We are sons by adoption. He is a son by nature.
And was he always the eternally begotten Son? Because I read something in Hebrews that says, where the Father says, this day you have become my Son.
No, Jesus Christ has always been the Son. In other words, there's no warrant biblically for making the conjecture that Jesus Christ became the Son at his birth in Bethlehem.
Okay. And the last thing I wanted to say, somebody once explained it to me that since Jesus had to be, in order to become a human, he had to be as human as us. He needed to eat. Humans need to eat. They need to drink. They need to sleep. And they need to worship God. So the man Christ Jesus needed to worship God too.
Well, needed may not be the operative word. I mean, if you look at Dr. Luke, what did he say? Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray because he treasured fellowship with his heavenly Father.
Okay.
Hey, Larry, thanks for your call.
Thank you so much.
You got it. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Don, listening on KSIV. Hi, Don.
My question is, I had a friend of mine who was murdered Friday night. He was pronounced dead at 12:04 a.m. Saturday morning. And my question is, me and him were, I guess, new believers would be the best way to describe it. And a woman I work with, she told me that people such as us who are new believers, we're subject to something called spiritual warfare, and that because we are new believers, me and him are more subject to the devil than anybody else. And I just wanted to know if that would be true.
Well, I think that is a huge, huge leap. We don't know exactly why what happens happens.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one lesson we see in the book of Job. Job asked the why question, and God thundered back from the storm, "You don't even know how I create a tiny drop of dew. How can you understand what is going on in the heavenlies?" God has revealed enough about himself that we can trust him, even though we don't understand why. So I can't answer for you why your friend died. I can't answer that question. I can say this to you. You can trust God in the midst of your whys. But as far as spiritual warfare is concerned, yes, it is true that when you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, you become an adversary of the devil. And therefore, it would behoove all Christians to put on the full armor of God, which Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. If you put on the full armor of God, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, says Paul, so that you can stand firm against the devil's schemes. So we can't always explain why what happens happens, but we can put on the full armor of God so that we can stand in the midst of what is guaranteed. That is spiritual warfare. We're always going to face the world, the flesh, and the devil and his minions. And therefore, we put on the full armor of God so that we can stand during the difficult times. And above all, as Paul says, stand. You can stand firm, dressed in the full armor of God. And again, I wrote a book about this, which is titled The Covering, and I would highly recommend it to you. In fact, I would love to send it to you as my gift, particularly as a new believer going through a very tragic circumstance. So hang on, Dawn. I'll send it out to you, and my condolences on the loss of your friend.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You got it. And God has left you here for a purpose, and he can use even this for his glory, for your good, and for the extension of his kingdom.
Thank you.
You've got it done. Appreciate your call. Hang on. We'll get the book out to you. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Carmen. Carmen's listening in Fresno, California. Hi.
Hi. I was calling because I had a question. I was liking to know, can a pastor and or his wife have a second job?
Well, yes. I mean, I think that the big thing for a pastor and his wife is to make certain that you have a balanced life. But the Apostle Paul, who was the great apostle to the Gentiles, had a second job, and his second job was tent making. So I think that there's a precedent for having a second job. You, of course, in the midst of that, want to make sure that you live a life of balance, that the balance does not take away from your calling, but actually enhances your calling.
Okay. So it is biblical for a pastor to work or his wife, because I was told by the pastor's wife that it's not biblical for
well,
the pastor to
you know
work.
What you ought to ask the whoever told you this, you ought to ask them, please show me where the Bible communicates that either explicitly or through a theological deduction. And if in fact they can show you this in the Bible, then you should take what they say and hold fast to what is good. But if they don't, again, you test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. And I promise you they will not be able to find precedent for what they just said in the Word of God. And as I said, there is a precedent for my point of view, which is that you can. Paul had a second job, which was tent maker.
What part in the Bible does that show?
That's in Acts chapter 18.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all I needed to know.
You got it, Carmen. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Renita. Renita is listening in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Renita.
Hi, Hank Hanegraaff. How are you?
I'm doing well. It is a wonderful delight to talk to you today.
Well, that's how I feel, too. I have a question. I have encountered recently, a second time, I have a friend who believes this, and then yesterday I encountered another man that mentioned it. The lost books of the Bible, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the ones that have, like, Mary Magdalene's book, and I don't know the names of all the books. I was raised a Christian. I'm a Christian. Went to a Christian school. Know a lot about the Bible. And my understanding is that the Bible has everything in it that we need. There's a verse that says that something in reference to if everything was written down, the books in the world couldn't contain the books or something. You know the verse I'm speaking
of? Yep.
You know it by heart?
Yes, exactly what you just said. I mean, that's a good paraphrase.
Okay, and what is that verse?
That verse is a verse that you will find in the Gospel of John, which essentially says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written.
Okay.
And that is John chapter 21.
And that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right?
John is the fourth gospel. And you were talking about the Gnostic gospels, and there is a distinctive between the Gnostic gospels and the gospels which we adhere to as believers. The Gnostic gospels were written by Gnostics, and the Gnostics had a completely different worldview from Christians. The Gnostics thought that matter was evil. The Gnostics were a patriarchal sect, and they certainly did not hold females in the same high esteem that Christians did. For Christians, there is no distinction between male and female. For the Gnostics, there certainly was. So one of the Gnostic Gospels is the Gospel of Thomas, and in the Gospel of Thomas, you have a passage that says, and this is a conversation between Peter and Jesus, Simon Peter said to them, "Make Mary leave us, for females don't deserve life." But Jesus said, "Look, I will guide her to make her male, so that she too may become a living spirit resembling you males. For every female who makes herself male will enter the domain of heaven." Again, emblematic of a patriarchal kind of society, which was in diametric opposition to a Christian worldview or society. And therefore, we don't put a whole lot of stock in the Gnostic Gospels, whether it's the Gospel of Thomas or Mary Magdalene or the Gospel of Judas.
Now, is the Mary Magdalene the one that says that she had, well, makes reference to that she had relations with Jesus and that they'd had a child?
Well, again, that's an inference that you will find in the Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown, but it's not actually in the text itself.
Okay, so, I mean, I know they don't have any reference to the Bible, like you just said, but how do you respond to someone who is either reading that or has read them and takes it as the word, as truth?
Well, because it is written long after the closing of the canon of Scripture, it was written during a different era of time. These are perverted gospels. They are not genuine gospels, and therefore, they are not to be trusted. They have a completely different worldview. If you read, for example, the Gospel of Judas, and I write about this in my book, The Apocalypse Code, if you take the Gospel of Judas and you compare it to the Gospel of John, you may find yourself bent over double in laughter. They're 13 papyrus pages. They're nonsensical. And so people who laud the Gospel of Judas, I contend most often have never read the Gospel of Judas. And the reason I talk about the laughter is we did it one time in my office with some staff members, and we ended up in stitches because we couldn't make heads or tails out of it. It is esoteric. It is certainly not clear and efficacious.
Okay. How do you spell Gnostic?
It's with a G. G-N-O-S-T-I-C. T-I-C, yeah.
Okay, well, that's...
I've written about this in various places. Again, I've written about this in the Apocalypse Code. I've written about it in my book, Resurrection. And I've also written about it in a book called The Da Vinci Code, Factor Fiction. Some detail in that particular book on the Gnostic Gospels, because they are heralded by people like Dan Brown and The Da Vinci Code. But in reality, they're not to be trusted. They're late Gospels written by the Gnostic sect or society that had a completely different worldview from the Christian worldview. We'll be right back in just a moment with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Rave reviews are coming in about Hank Hanegraaff's The Complete Bible Answer Book. Listen to what Dr. Ed Young, senior pastor of Houston Second Baptist Church, said.
First of all, it's a great book for apologetics. You have so many people out here who are secular-minded, and they get confused about obvious things. They question the historicity of scripture, inspiration, revelation, etc. And this is a wonderful book for apologetics. Number two, it is a pocket commentary. You not only answer these questions simply, but you have a footnote. In other words, I want to know more. Number three, it's a daily devotional book. I would recommend that someone would take one or two or three of these and read it as a devotional doctrinal study. And number four, it's a terrific book for discipleship. I have given this book to literally hundreds of people. This is really a beautiful, beautiful gift book.
Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book packed with many answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity when you call 888-7000-CRI. Or order online in our secure website at www.equip.org. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. Don't touch that dial. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back.
These are the last of the last days. Oh, somewhere between 2003 and 2005, Jesus will come back.
How much longer do you think we really might have?
I don't believe we have another 10 years.
Anywhere from now till 2018, Jesus Christ will appear to set up his thousand-year kingdom of revelation.
When will Jesus come back? The consensus is as varied as the number of so-called experts you ask. So where do you turn for definitive scriptural insight on the end times? Understanding Revelation is now within your grasp. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff deals with today's most asked prophecy questions. It distinctively presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about end times and why it matters today by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or order online at equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of
of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information. Information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. This year, as you prepare your home for Christmas, prepare your heart as well. Through historical revelations and inspirational insights into the person and work of Christ, Hank Hanegraaff leads you on a truth-filled journey to the very heart of Christmas. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is a collection of 25 devotionals that are certain to inspire an annual Christmas tradition. Get this personal or family devotional by December 1st and prepare your heart daily until December 25th with renewed appreciation for Emmanuel, God with us. Also, get your Christmas shopping done early this year and give the Heart of Christmas to a loved one or friend. Pre-order the Heart of Christmas with the accompanying Christmas music on CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or the Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas music CD, or quantity discount options to give as gifts. Check it out at equip.org. And now, here is Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And I have to apologize to all of you that we're talking about Christmas before Halloween or even Thanksgiving. But I'll tell you what, I just got a copy of The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, and the book is absolutely stunning. The presentation is, I think it's the most beautiful book that Thomas Nelson has ever produced. So it's a beautiful book. It's content rich. You got an audio version as an option. You have a CD of Christmas carols with a beautiful guitar rendition. It's just incredible. You can see all the options on the World Wide Web right now at equip.org. I think this is an incredible devotional for the season. We use it starting December 1st right up to December 25th. It's just a beautiful resource. And I know this year I'm going to use it as Christmas gifts to a lot of people. One of the things we can do for you is personalize them to family members, friends, and coworkers. You can see the details again on the World Wide Web at equip.org. The Heart of Christmas, you can order case lots of The Heart of Christmas and use them for Christmas gifts this season. A wonderful resource to take you to what The Heart of Christmas really is. Want to go back to the phone lines, talking about Christmas, talk to Joy. She's listening on KCCV in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Joy.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. I love your name.
Thank you. I have a question for you about The Secret. I just wanted to find out what you could tell me about that.
Yeah, I actually wrote about The Secret in my book, Christianity Crisis 21st Century. I start out the introduction with Rhonda Byrne's The Secret. And, of course, it made the news because of Oprah Winfrey. She talked about it as life-changing. She says the thoughts and the feelings that you put into your world, both good and bad, are exactly what is always coming back to you so that you can have the life you have created. Oprah says, I've been talking about this for years on my show. I just never called it The Secret. Well, what is The Secret? The Secret is the law of attraction, and the law of attraction is the law of creation, and according to Rhonda Byrne, it is the key that opens the catalog of the universe. And so if you learn how to use your thoughts and words, you can create the world you've always wanted. One of the illustrations she gives, and this is the silly side, there's a serious side in this book as well, but she says that to transform herself from fat to thin, she started thinking thin thoughts. And she stopped looking at fat people. And as a result of that, she is now at her ideal weight. Now, at first blush, Byrne's rhetoric sounds silly. but there's a clear and present danger in her reasoning. Just as her followers have to avoid fat people for fear of becoming fat, so too they have to avoid cancer victims for fear of contracting cancer, or poor people for fear of becoming poor. In other words, you should avoid, if you're in Rhonda Byrne's world, the very people Jesus exhorts us to care for. And from her perspective, you shouldn't even look at them. And there's a lot more serious difficulty with this, of course, because one of the contributors, Joe Vitale, was on Larry King. And Larry asked him about Jessica Lunsford, who was the 9-year-old Florida girl that was brutally raped and murdered. And he asked if the thoughts of Jessica Lunsford brought the tragedy into her life. And Joe Vitale said, yes, the law of attraction never slips up. So whatever happens to you, good or bad, be it cancer or getting thin, is a direct result of the thoughts you think. So if you have a whore in your life, the dark underbelly of the secret is that you attracted that horror to yourself. Of course, it's nonsense. It's New Thought metaphysics carefully packaged for, unfortunately, Christian consumption in some cases.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything biblical that kind of compares to that or that you could...
No, it's decidedly unbiblical. It's a different message from the Bible. That's my point. Everything she says is virtually anti-biblical. For example, Rhonda Byrne, author of The Secret, is very clearly communicating that the biblical writers were millionaires themselves, including Jesus Christ. And therefore, if you're following Jesus Christ, you too can be rich, which is an idea which is decidedly unbiblical. This is how she puts it, however.
If you have been brought up to believe that being wealthy is not spiritual, then I highly recommend you read the Millionaires of the Bible series by Catherine Ponder. In these glorious books, you will discover that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and Jesus were not only prosperity teachers, but also millionaires themselves, with more affluent lifestyles than many present-day millionaires could conceive of.
Of course, if you take Jesus Christ as just one, how do you make the case that Jesus Christ was not only a prosperity preacher, but he was a millionaire? Jesus Christ made it clear that he had no place to lay his head. Jesus Christ was hardly a millionaire. And Jesus warned about the deceitfulness of riches. And he warned his disciples that it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And Jesus Christ is making it clear through those words, not that there is anything wrong with riches, but we should have no attachment to riches. In other words, we should not labor for that which perishes, but rather for that which is eternal. Jesus said that we should not lay up treasures for ourselves on earth, where moth and rust corrode and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrode and where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He went on to say, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Then says Jesus, no one can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So Jesus says that when you become a believer, what you do is you give up, you relinquish ownership. You become a steward. That means you owe nothing. You hold everything that you have with an open hand so that God can put in or take out as he sees fit.
Right. All of that makes
sense. So Jesus was hardly a prosperity preacher. That help?
It does. Can I ask you one last question related to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
My friend who's interested in that, she also highly respects Joel Osteen. And what I wonder is if what he preaches is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, he's just packaged it with Christian words, so he doesn't call it the law of attraction that is the key that opens the catalog of the universe, but he calls it the force of faith. And so he says, faith is a force, words are the containers of the force. Through the force of faith, you can create your own reality. So again, it's the same basic idea. It's New Thought metaphysics carefully packaged for Christian consumption.
Okay. That's pretty much what I expected, but I wasn't so sure. So I really appreciate your time, Hank. Thanks so much.
You got it. I've written about this in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Back to the phone lines. Larry listening on XM Radio in Victorville, California. Hi, Larry.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Pretty good. I just had a question I wanted to ask you, sir. What do you think of the Eugene Peterson's The Message?
Well, I think it is a paraphrase that unfortunately squeezes the New Testament into the mold of today's politically correct culture. For example, it doesn't mention homosexuality. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, he refrains from mentioning homosexuality, even though the Greek text does. So instead, he corrects those who use and abuse each other, use and abuse sex. Now, a homosexual who is practicing homosexuality would not have any problem with Peterson's text in that they don't consider sodomy an abuse of sex. In their view, it's merely an alternative lifestyle. Not only that, but Peterson then adds something to the text which is not in the text, and that is he adds use and abuse the earth. That's not in the text. It's politically correct, but it's not in the text. So he's adding an element that's not in the text. I also find the paraphrase greatly disturbing and difficult to understand in other portions. For example, John 3:5, the well-known text where Jesus says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Well, Peterson changes that to say, unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it is not possible to enter the kingdom of God. I don't even understand what that means. So he takes what is relatively clear and concise and confabulates it. It's difficult to understand what in the world he's talking about at that point.
Yes, sir. I've found that in different areas that I have read so far. Also, I wanted to ask, if you don't mind, I know that there's a lot of different versions of the Bible out there, and a lot of people get saved reading those different versions. How do you explain that, and what would you say should be the one studied the most?
Well, I think you want to have a real translation as opposed to a paraphrase of the Bible, though some paraphrases can be helpful. But you want translations of the Bible. The NIV is a good translation of the Bible. The New King James Version, a great translation of the Bible. The NASB, a good translation of the Bible. So there are a lot of modern translations that are wonderful, that are consistent with the original languages. They don't introduce elements that are not in the original languages. They don't go beyond what was written in the text. Again, we as Christians do not say that the translations, however good they may be, are the inspired text. We claim inspiration for the autographers, the originals. Be right back.
Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the radio program and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, watching video clips, or reading Hank's blog,
You can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can access all of these new media. At last count, CRI reaches people in over 177 countries through the research materials, resources, and our broadcast found at www.equip.org. You can help too. Spread the word by posting links to our website and articles from your Facebook page and your tweets. It's all at www.equip.org. But don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after these messages.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Don't miss our cover story on famed capitalist and atheistic philosopher Ayn Rand. Our practical apologetics feature article, Equipping the Next Generation, highlights five key factors parents can teach children in counteracting worldly philosophy and overdependence on church programs. Our effective evangelism department equips you to respond to the difficult problem of evil objection. Hank answers an attack on the reliability of the Bible by distinguished University of North Carolina professor Dr. Bart Ehrman as he answers the question, Christ's cleansing of the temple, can Mark and John be reconciled? In his Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York, with sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Christmas is the tremendous news that little baby Jesus came as God in flesh. Hank Hanegraaff has penned a hardbound devotional taking the truths of the Christmas story and turning them into traditions. In the Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. Each devotion is beautifully presented and complemented with an appropriate Christmas carol and thought-provoking questions. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is a collection of 25 daily devotions that are certain to inspire an annual Christmas tradition. This year, as you prepare your home for Christmas, prepare your heart as well. Pre-order The Heart of Christmas with the accompanying Christmas carols on CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas carol CD, or quantity discount options to give as gifts to your loved ones and friends. That's equip.org. Bible Answer Man is here to stand for truth and help Christians understand and contend for the historic Christian faith. Many of our valued listeners and Christian leaders have encouraged us in our mission.
This is Carl Amari, producer of the Word of Promise audio Bible. Hank Hanegraaff and his team have been an incredible source of support for me and the entire Word of Promise staff. Not only has Hank embraced my vision for the Word of Promise, but he's also embraced my team through prayer and encouragement to stand strong in our call to minister to the lost and hurting. His unfailing enthusiasm for the Word of God and its life-changing power encourages and promotes the same in those of us who wish to bring God's Word front and center in the eyes of the world. Hank's desire to reach out to those in spiritual need resonates with my own spirit. His uncompromising message of faith has been and continues to be a lifeline for thousands and a beacon of light to a darkened world.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to fulfill the unique and vital ministry that the Christian Research Institute does daily. So we're asking for your fervent prayers and financial participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, the CRI Fellowships, or the President's Council, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-274. Or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And when you join the Bible Answer Man support team, receive Hank's Essential Christian Doctrine Flip Chart as our gift to you. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Right back to our phone callers. Next up, Thomas, listening on CHRB in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Thomas.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Good talking to you.
Got a bit of a dilemma at my church, something that's near and dear to my heart. I've had a passion for birds my entire life, ever since I was a little boy. And I've also been a Christian ever since I was a little boy as well. I'm a devout Christian, but I just love looking at nature. I really enjoy looking at what God made. And it really bothers me to see God's creation destroyed at every turn. And I believe that we should be good stewards of God's creation. And at the same time, there's a verse in Genesis that says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." My question to you is, my pastor said in his sermon, it's a very conservative Baptist church, he said, you can't be an environmentalist and a Baptist at the same time. And I wanted to ask you what you think of that.
Well, it depends on what kind of an environmentalist you are. And certainly, you have correctly indicated that God has a book of nature, and God has left us not only the revelation of himself in that book of nature, but he has also given us a cultural mandate to tend the garden, to take care of it. We are to be stewards of the creation, and in that sense, certainly we care for the environment. On the other hand, you don't want to be someone who's involved in the environmental movement who swallows hook, line, and sinker the kinds of things that are today politically correct, such as global warming. Rather, as a Christian that exercises discernment skills, you have to learn how to ask the right questions and ask the right questions in the right sequence. Otherwise, you can end up hurting the environment as opposed to helping the environment. But if the basic question is, are we to tend the garden, take care of the environment God has given us to tend? Of course, we are called not only to fulfill the Great Commission, but the cultural mandate as well.
Yeah. I've contemplated leaving my church because of what he said. I think he's really got it in for environmentalists, and it really hurts to hear him talk that way. I've said to him, listen, I don't come to church to hear your personal hatred of environmentalism. I come here to hear about Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, I think you have to look at the other side of the coin, and I'll give you the other side of the coin as well. You want to find out exactly where he's coming from when he talks about environmentalism. I'll give you one example of a Baptist preacher, Buzz Oliver Thomas, who is an environmentalist who I would not agree with. So there are environmentalists that I would agree with and some that I would not. Here's one that I would not. Again, he's a Baptist pastor, and he goes so far as to judge those who have more than two children as selfish and sinful.
No, I don't. Yeah.
And then
I agree with you there.
There are environmentalists, in fact, the Evangelical Environmental Network, who have taken it upon themselves to posit that Jesus wouldn't drive an SUV. And they seem blithely
they seem blithely
unaware that their idiosyncratic fundamentalism often flies in the face of the facts, because, as should be obvious, there are myriad factors to be considered with respect to family size. And whether one has two or 12 children is less important than whether those children grow up to be selfless producers as opposed to merely selfish consumers.
My brother has five children. I don't have a problem at all with that.
Okay.
And, they're all very good kids.
Yeah, and likewise, fuel savings do not necessarily dwarf such factors as family size or family safety. Fuel economy doesn't trump other factors, especially since some cars, such as hybrids, have better than average fuel economy but require more energy both to construct and to recycle than do less fuel-efficient cars. So an outside observer is in no position to make a moral judgment just by observing what you drive. So I don't agree with everybody in the environmental movement that are making statements that are not defensible, either biblically or environmentally. So you have to use discernment. And a lot of people in the environmental movement don't have much discernment. There are some that do, and you sound like one that does. And therefore, your pastor needs to be very careful in making his broad brush statements. You need to be very careful to parse what you're saying.
Yes. Thank you very much.
You got it. I've written about this, by the way. How should you think about global warming? At least it gives you the principles of discernment.
Yes. That sounds very good.
It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Just hang on. I'll send you a copy.
Absolutely.
Okay, Thomas.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Alba in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Alba.
Hey, Hank. First of all, I want to say that thank you so much for your ministry. It's my family and I listen to it like every single day at 4 o'clock here in Calgary. My question is basically, I want to know like the most tactful way in exposing a false preacher or teacher. Like in my church, there's two men that have been like trying to infiltrate this G12 movement, and like my family and myself and a lot of families in the church are totally against this. Like the doctrine is clearly false, and like I'm sure you know about it, but I know that we as Christians we are obligated to like expose these people, but I want to know like what would be the most tactful way to do it, right?
Well, I think what you're saying, Alba, is that you want to do it tactfully. You just mentioned that word, and I think you want to underscore that because we want to do what we do with gentleness and with respect. But if there are false teachers seeking to bring their false teachings into the church, yeah, they should be exposed. And the way that you expose them is you expose their false teachings to the light of God's word. You counter their false doctrines. And you do that for the sake of the body of Christ, because ideas have consequences. And when people come into the church promoting counterfeit revivalism, and I've talked about the kinds of false teachers that are infiltrating the church that you're describing in a book called Counterfeit Revival, when they're infiltrating the church with their false doctrines, they need to be exposed. You do it with gentleness and with respect, but ultimately you do it by casting their false doctrines in the light of the mirror of God's word. And therefore, the light dispels the darkness. So you need to understand where they're deviating from the historic Christian faith and how to use those deviations as springboards or opportunities for sharing truth. So you have to know the genuine so you can contrast the counterfeit with that genuine.
The people, like, there's a lot of people that I guess are kind of timid and how to approach this situation, but this has been going on for like a year and a half, right? And I was thinking, would the best way to do it, because my church belongs to the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, and I was wondering if the best way to do it would actually to have counsel with them and for them to deal with the situation?
Yeah, I think it is good for this first to start with the pastor, who is the leader of the church. Is he promoting this? If he's promoting it, then what he is doing is bringing the wolves into the sheep pen. So you start with the pastor, and if the pastor does not listen to this, perhaps either you leave the church because the church under the control of the pastor is bent on going in a particular direction, or if you feel called, take it further.
All right. Thanks so much, Hank. I really appreciate it. God bless you and your ministry. You guys are awesome. You guys rock. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your call. I've written about this subject in general in a book called Counterfeit Revival, also Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. We need to be aware of false teachers. We need to take what they say, test it in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good, and we need to ultimately care. The Apostle Paul cared. He said, even from among your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you, night and day, with tears. Paul also told Timothy, who was his protege, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Paul cared deeply about doctrine because he recognized that ideas have consequences, and those who follow, or swallow, I should say, spiritual cyanide will reap the devastating consequences. And that's why, not because we're trying to be smart, or not because we're trying to be right, but because we genuinely care for truth, we should expose darkness to light. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Also, remember that our resources are available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. I've answered many of the questions that I answer right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, as well in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. It is a ready resource to answer the questions that stumble skeptics, and also that galvanize oftentimes these skeptics against the historic Christian faith. A book that will fortify you in your faith. Short, concise answers to the questions that oftentimes stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. And again, you can access us not only on the World Wide Web at equip.org, but also by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force. Faith activates God.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen.
I want to talk to you today about the importance of speaking faith-filled words over your life. They have creative power. And if we say it long enough, eventually we're going to reap a harvest. We're going to get exactly what we're saying. And this can either be good or it can be bad.
Also, Creflo Dollar.
The substance of the house you want is faith substance. Take away the faith stuff, you ain't got no stuff. Get the faith stuff, and you can get some more stuff.
Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. And to say thank you for your continued faithfulness, we want to send you Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy, call 888-7000-CRI. Or log on to our website 24 hours a day at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about autographed and personalized leather editions. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.